in the past, Pastor Hart has preached on it lots, and Doug and others, but it's just something that God's been continuing to speak to me, and I just couldn't get rid of it this week when I was thinking about what we would share. I spent some time just out walking yesterday, and I just really felt God confirming me just to talk a little bit about favor. And we've kind of snapped at just a couple of things in our lives recently that, again, just underscored to us how it's really the Lord's desire for us to walk in favor, and He has good things for us as we position ourselves and as we really have an expectancy that we will receive favor in our lives. One of them is a little bit of a humorous story. Just a couple weeks ago, I was coming home on the South Bypass there, and I'm not sure if I have a habit on every intersection, but for sure on that intersection, I have a habit of perhaps not slowing down to a complete stop as I'm turning left to go south toward our house. And it's more of a, well, it's a rolling stop, to be honest. And I look both ways, but I just kind of, you know, I'm here to get home and see the family. And so I wasn't long down the highway, and I saw the red and blue in the back window, and knew something, and I had done something. And so a young lady stopped me, and it was actually Ellis. Doug had talked about her previously, and she let me know that I had come to a rolling stop, and I mean, there's nothing I could say. I'm like, yes, ma'am, that's probably exactly what had happened. And so I passed her the necessary documentation. But just the whole time that she was in her vehicle, I'm just like, Lord, just declare your favor over this. I've made a mistake, Lord, but declare your favor over the situation. The funny thing is, Candace was following me that day. And usually, if we're in a vehicle together and I would be stopped, which doesn't happen too often, but it happens every once in a while. And if she was to be stopped, I'm sure the same thing would be happening. Probably not the thing that we're talking to each other is probably, we're probably not declaring favor over that situation necessarily, right? There might be like, what were you doing that for? What were you thinking? You know, just typical husband and wife things, you know, usually go on. But Candace was great this time. I found this out later on when I got home, and she asked me, we finished up with the RCMP, and I got home, and Candace said, so, you get a ticket? And I said, nope. She goes, I declared favor. I bit my tongue. There's other things I could have said as I drove past you and saw you on this side of the road, but all I said was favor. And I said, well, that's exactly what I was saying too. So, we had the prayer of agreement, and I got a warning, and now I'm much better at stopping at that intersection, actually, so... If you see me roll through a stop, you come up behind me and you remind me to make sure I put on the brakes all the way. But I believe that was God, just a small story of God's favor in our life. And another situation I want to share with you guys. Candace and I have made plans to attend Southwest Believers Convention in Dallas. And, of course, many of you know that I have a 9-to-5 job that I started in January. And so I'd apply for time off, and I had to request that, and I had favor to do that. But Candace, with her new job at the credit union, she's in a new department this year and has some new duties, and it's just not a guaranteed thing that she would get the time off. She's kind of the entry-level person in that department, and so there's people that have greater levels of seniority that would get a first chance to kind of book their time off for the summer, right? And with the credit union, they generally, you don't do it too far in advance. It might be 2 or 3 months in advance. Kind of fairly close to that date before you might know if you're getting the time off. Well, we want to book hotels, we want to book our flight, we want to get it all sorted out, right? And so we're just praying over that situation and asking for favor. Well, the first report that came back wasn't positive. There's kind of like 4 people in this one area, and because it's a grad weekend, the weekend that we want to leave, 2 of them were not going to be there on the Friday and on the Monday as well, and we wanted to leave on the Friday, and of course we'd be gone the Monday and the rest of that whole week. And so the initial report from Candace's boss was, it doesn't look good at all. It doesn't look like this is going to be a possibility, right? And we had an opportunity there. You know, we could have grumped or grossed about that, said some things that were negative. Oh, why is this happening to us? And instead, we're getting better at being disciplined and just saying, no, Lord, we declare your favor over that situation, that you would turn things around in a situation that doesn't look like it's possible, doesn't look like it's going to be able to happen. And we actually prayed with some of you folks here. We were in a meeting. We prayed with some of you folks here, and we asked for the Heavenly Father for me. We believe we received favor in that situation. That what looked like to be something that wasn't possible would be changed. And you know what? It was like 3 days later, Candace got, I'm not sure if it was an email or a phone call from her boss or called in or whatever it was, and she says, "You know, I've given it some thought, and I'm going to give you that time off." And just what an exciting thing! That again to us just really underscored God's favor in our life. We could have gone a different route. We could have And I believe if we had spoken some negative things over that situation, we may not have received that favor. But we're learning. Slowly but surely, we're learning. And, God has just shown us that we have a lot to do with the favor that we walk in our lives as we learn and apply those principles from God's Word. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this week. I've pulled some things out of this book. I bought this last year at the convention, the Southwest Believers Convention. Jerry Savelle is a man who's just been, his life has been characterized by the favor of God. He's got fantastic stories. If you ever get a chance to read any of his books, but especially the ones on favor, it's just really neat. God's given him some great revelation. He's applied it, and he's walking in it. And he's really proof a lot of these things. He's easy to read. And so I've pulled lots out of there this week. And we'll actually read a little bit later on. And again, Pastor Hart has shared some of those stories. Just the crazy things, the crazy favor that this fellow has. But God's caused him to walk in that because there's something for the kingdom. There's something for the church that if we can grab a hold of, it can not just influence Jerry Savelle's life, but it can affect all of us, and we can learn to walk in a lifestyle of favor. That's really my goal. I want my life to be characterized by favor. So people think of Cam Hart, they don't think of a myriad of other things, but they think, man, there's someone that God's favor is on his life, and clearly, clearly, God's real. He's moving, and he wants to do good things, not just for Cam, but for me as well, too. Let's talk about the meaning of the word favor. These are kind of some definitions from the dictionary, but it's neat when they study them. When we study them, it starts to give us faith. It starts to give us excitement as the favor that God has for us. The first definition of favor is something granted out of goodwill. Goodwill is not something that can be bought. You can't purchase goodwill. It's not something that could be earned. Last week, Pastor Ray talked about the power of the resurrection. If we're to walk in that power, we have to understand it's been purchased for it, right? Remember, he held up his hand and he said, we have a receipt. It's been paid for, it's been purchased for us. And so favor is something granted out of goodwill. If we're to live a lifestyle of favor, we have to get a revelation of where it comes from, that Jesus paid the price for that favor on the cross, and we have a right to walk in that favor. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go along. I want to read Romans 5, 1-2. This is the New King James Version. It says, therefore, having justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have access to grace because of Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word for grace, I'm not going to try and pronounce it. I listened to it last night like 5 times on the computer and I still could not pronounce it properly. But it means favor, kindness, and graciousness. When you read God's word and you see the word grace, you can substitute favor. Those words are really quite interchangeable. Actually translated as divine favor, that's even better yet. It's just neat when you do that, when you read through Scripture and you see that word grace, it's all through Scripture. Sometimes it's translated in English as divine favor. But if not, throw that in there because this just gives you a really neat perspective. Perhaps some additional revelation there when you're reading those verses. It's neat how when you do that, Scripture takes on a new meaning. So let's read that from the Amplified Bible because the Amplified Bible translates and uses some different wording for Romans verses 5, 1-2. Therefore, since we are justified, which is acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace of reconciliation to hold and enjoy, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through him we also have our access, which is our entrance and our introduction, by faith into this grace, the state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. So there we have it. Grace can be the state of God's favor that we have access through to Jesus Christ. That's really exciting. That is a neat thing. Second definition of favor would be a gift bestowed as a token of regard, love, or friendship. Has anyone ever asked you, would you do me a favor? Been asked that. If you're inclined to answer that request, it's generally because you have a relationship with that person, right? You have regard for them, you care for them, perhaps their family, perhaps their close friends, but there's something that connects you guys that if they ask you that, would you do a favor for me, you're more inclined to say yes. Now, I've learned a lot of times in my life, don't say yes right away. Say, well, what is the favor? I need to know what the favor is first, right? But it's kind of funny. Sometimes people just expect you to say yes, and they have no idea what you're gonna. You have no idea what they're gonna ask you. But generally, you're inclined to do it, and they know that already because of relationship. It's already there, and so it's a token of regard, love, or friendliness. A third definition of favor would be preferential treatment. We know that we have the favor of God, but according to the Bible, we also have favor with man. That's what Candace experienced, right? She experienced favor with man. That was preferential treatment that perhaps shouldn't necessarily come to her, but because of the favor of God, it came to her. Proverbs 3, 1-4 says, "My child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years. Your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you'll earn a good reputation." The Bible says that about Jesus as well. He had favor with God and man. So it's possible to have not only favor with God, divine favor, but that extends and means that you have favor with man. And that's an exciting thing. Fourth definition is an advantage. To have an advantage means there's just something working for us that others may or may not have working for them, right? It's just influence in situations. It's just goodness that comes into our lives. It's an advantage maybe in negotiating, whatever it is, that if we walk in favor, that can become a characteristic of our lives. And people say, well, how do you do that? Like, have you ever known people like that? I've known believers that just, they always seem to get good deals, and maybe it's just they walk into investments in the right time. They're promoted when you wouldn't think that they'd be promoted. That's walking in favor. That's an advantage that they walk in because of God working on their behalf. A couple years ago, probably 2 or 3 years ago, we talked a lot about, and Pastor Hart taught us a lot about the power of confession, right? Declaring what God's word says about us. And we're not going to talk a lot about that today, but that is a huge key to experiencing favor in our lives. It's not enough just to think about favor, to have a revelation on it. We need to have a revelation of how we need that we declare that favor in our lives in order to activate it. There's a divine connection between declaring the favor of God over lives and seeing it happen in our lives. Candace and I saw that. When I got stopped there, I just didn't think favor. I said, Lord, I declare favor over the situation. Candace said the word favor as she drove past me on the highway. It's a law of confession. Again, it's speaking and agreeing over our lives what God's word says about us. You know, most of us face challenges on a daily basis. That challenge of being stopped by the RCMP officer, that might seem like a small thing, right? But there's other challenges that we face that might be bigger things, right? There might be mountains in our lives. I was thinking of a mountain of debt, for example. If we were facing a large amount of debt, what does God's word say about that situation? This is a verse that we read often. This is in Mark 11, verse 23. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, for example, a mountain of debt, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Now you're thinking, what does speaking to mountains have to do with favor? Well, this is a neat verse that Brother Savelle brought out in this book. And this is Zechariah 4, 6 and 7, again, referring to speaking to mountains. He's talking about the story of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was a man who was working to rebuild the temple. And this is Zechariah 4, 6 to 7. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." That's the verse that's familiar to us. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. But the next verse is, "What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone of the temple, with shouts of grace to it, or favor, or divine favor to it." So there's an example of scripture of just shouting and declaring divine favor over an impossible situation. Rebuilding the temple was what seemed to be an impossible task, right? But Zechariah is prophesying, saying, shout favor over that, and that problem that seems impossible will be smoothed out, and you'll have victory in that situation. So that's the model. That's the template for us. We're to shout grace or God's favor to our mountain. It might be a mountain of debt. It might be a mountain of a relationship that just doesn't seem resolvable. But when we do that, we're speaking words of faith, just like Jesus said we should do. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, too, and how many of his books, when you read his letters to the New Testament church, how many of them start with phrases like, grace be to you and peace be unto you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be unto you. Paul was so consistent when he was writing letters to believers, just to declare grace and declare God's divine favor over these people. Do you think that he just did that in writing? I think it extended past that. I think when he visited them, that was probably part of their greeting as well, too, right? He didn't just say, hey, how's it going? He would say, grace be to you, favor be to you. And that's something that we can do that as well, right? When we meet someone, we don't have to just say, you know, how's the weather? How are the Jets doing? Whatever. But take an opportunity to declare favor over each other. Declare God's grace over each other. That's a powerful thing. It helps us change our mindset, right? It gives us a new way of thinking. Paul wanted the New Testament church to understand the favor of God brings with it blessing, prosperity, victory over adversity. You know, they didn't have to be poor anymore. They didn't have to be sick anymore. We've been learning those things again in our church, right? Doug was talking just a few weeks back. He did a three-part series on how God, it's God's will for us to walk in healing in our lives. And that is definitely part of that favor. You know, so many times as believers, we can find ourselves just slipping into kind of a comfort zone. We're okay, just a little bit in survival mode, right? The bills are being paid. We're just kind of, everything's just kind of taken care of. Maybe there's a little bit left over for to go out and have some DQ or something like that at the end of the week. But that's not God's will. That's just a place of just enough, barely enough. And the Lord's looking for us to walk in abundance. And there's reasons for that. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But God has so much more for us than just living in survival mode. That's definitely can be our goal. We don't have time to talk a lot about them, but Jerry Savelle just had a list of 10 things that are benefits of God's favor. And I just want to read them to get you guys excited, because they excited me as I read them. He has verses and a lot of stories from Scripture that kind of go to illustrate each one, and we don't have the time to do that. But I'm going to read the list from this book, because it excited me as I was reading it yesterday. Just to build your faith. So I'm going to do that right now. So 10 benefits of walking in God's favor. These are things that Jared's obviously experienced in his life, but they're from God's word as well, too. There's scriptural basis here. First thing, we'll experience supernatural increase and promotion. First benefit of walking in God's favor. You know, you think right away of Joseph, for example, right? Joseph in the Bible was a man who experienced supernatural increase promotion. He was sold into slavery in Egypt. And when he was a slave in Egypt, probably the last thing that the people, if you look at people looking at his situation, would think that he would rise to be governor, second in command of the whole country. Yet God did it, right? Now, obviously, the Lord had spoken to Joseph, and he had faith, and he had a part to play there as well, too. But God raised him up, and he oversaw all the wealth and all the business in the land of Egypt. Second thing is we will experience the restoration of everything the enemy has stolen from us, everything Satan has stolen from us. Powerful example of this, the people of Israel in Egypt. They were in captivity for over 400 years. The Bible says 430 years. What happens when they left Egypt? They left with the wealth of Egypt, right? People were throwing the wealth at them. And that was a restoration of what the devil had stolen, right? Those people had been deprived of their wealth, of their goods, of their possessions. They came to Egypt, when they came to Egypt, they had wealth, and that had been taken from them, and so God restored that. That's something that we can declare over our lives, that as the favor of God will restore to us everything the enemy has stolen. A powerful thing to say. Number three, we'll receive honor even in the midst of our adversaries. We'll receive honor even in the midst of our adversaries. The Bible talks about how in the plagues of Egypt, I believe it was after the when there was darkness for 3 days, the Bible says the Lord gave the Israelites favor in the sight of the Egyptians. That's in Exodus 11:3. You know, right in the midst of those difficulties, the Hebrew nation was in a difficult place, and in the midst of their trouble, the Lord gave them favor. You think of Psalm 23 as well, too, and David writes that, you prepare a table before me in the midst of my enemies, right? And that was David's declaration that David was saying, when I'm in trouble, Lord, you prepare a table before me. You set things up for me. You put me in a good place, even in the midst of my enemies. That's David declaring favor over his life. Need another drink here. Another benefit of favor, we'll increase in assets, especially in the area of land and real estate. One of the neat promises in the book of Joshua, Joshua 1:3, says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I've given to you, as I said to Moses. Declare it over your life that the Lord will bring you increase in possessions and land and real estate. And Jerry has just some many neat stories But a couple of them, we don't have time to share them all today, but you don't have to pay the world's price for it either, right? That's hallmark of favor, is that the Lord will bring things to you, opportunities to you, and it'll be a God thing, and you'll know it because of the way it happens, and quite likely the price you have to pay for it as well, too, and that's an exciting thing. I'm believing that for my life. Another benefit of favor, will experience great victories in the midst of all odds. Boy, this is a powerful one. You think of the nation of Israel, how many battles that they went into, and it just seemed hopeless. Or Gideon, for example. Just how the battle that they were facing just seemed like it was against all odds, and there's no way they could achieve victory in that situation, but the Lord would deliver them time and time again. That is just a hallmark of God's favor, that we have great victories in the midst of great odds. You know, sometimes the greatest favor is apparent in our lives when we face the greatest odds, right? When we do that, when there's nothing we can do for ourselves, when we have to extend our faith, choose to walk in faith, or choose to say, Lord, you got to do it because I can't do anything about it. Sometimes when it's the most bleak, that's when the greatest victory can be achieved, because we're truly relying on God at that point. Another benefit of favor, will receive recognition even when we may be the least likely to be selected. You think of David, right? The youngest of Jesse's sons, the smallest of Jesse's sons. In the eyes of man, in the eyes of the world, he's the least likely to be selected, yet he was God's chosen one. Man, that gives hope for us all, right? If you're someone that thinks, man, why would God choose me? Well, God chooses the people that sometimes the world might look like and say, that person might be the least likely. But when God's divine favor is on your life, he'll raise you up. And he will give you recognition and promotion and advance you, even when the world wouldn't. We'll experience preferential treatment, another benefit of the blessing. You know, the Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It's a promise of favor. It's a promise of God's grace over our lives. We think of Queen Esther. Even before she was queen, she had a heart toward the Lord. And there was a group of ladies that were all trying to be the next queen for the king at that time, right, in that nation. And the Bible says that Esther had favor and that the king preferred her over all the other ladies. And then when he saw her, he got excited. He had love for her. And the king chose Esther, who is a Hebrew girl, to be queen over all those other people. That was the Lord advancing her, but it was for a very specific reason as well. You know, when the favor of God is on our lives, prominence and preferential treatment come along with it. It's part of the parcel. Our petitions will be granted, even by ungodly civil authorities. Another benefit of favor. Our petitions will be granted. Esther, when she's made king, she had petition that she brought before the king to save her people, right? Well, that king was not a God-fearing man, but Esther walked in divine favor, and therefore she had God on her side, and she was able to influence that situation and really save her nation. Her nation was at risk for being entirely exterminated by the king at that time, but God advanced her into a place where she had influence, and then her petition was granted and saved her nation. Policies, rules, and laws will be changed or reversed to our advantage. That's a good one. A benefit of favor. You know, the king had, in Esther's time, the king had put forth a law that says all the Jews would be put to death. But then that law was changed. There was another law that said the Jews are now allowed to defend themselves, right? And legislation was added to it that changed that whole situation, right? That reversed a situation that looked really bad into a situation where the Jewish nation was able to have victory and were saved. Number 10, we won't have to fight some battles because God will fight them for us. Doesn't mean that we won't fight battles, but God will fight them for us. You know, we think of the story of David, for example. David and Goliath is a story that we're all familiar with. David says, you come to me with a sword, a spear, a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's. What an encouraging thing to know that the battle is God's, amen? And that he's going to fight our battles for us. Doesn't mean that we're not in a battle. That doesn't mean we won't experience battles in our lives. But when we have divine favor over our lives, we have God's right arm there to bring us through in that situation. We have a guarantee of victory because we're not the one fighting the battle. God's doing it on our behalf. Let's talk a little bit about the heritage of favor. Why is it that we have a heritage of favor, a right to favor? You know, the first thing we have to understand that blessing and favor are inseparable. Wherever we find blessing, we find favor. When we find the blessing of God on people's lives, it's characterized by favor. You know, the primary characteristic of the covenant is blessing. The primary characteristic of the blessing is favor. We can't have the blessing of God without having the favor of God. The two go hand in hand. That's an exciting thing for us. Galatians 3, 8, and 9. This is Paul writing to the church in Galatia. And he says, "What's more, the scriptures looked forward to the time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith." So this is talking about God's plan to make us Gentiles righteous. "God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, 'All nations will be blessed through you.' So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith." God made a covenant with Abraham that extended to Abraham's natural family, extended to his wife, his children, just his family all around him. But it also extended to Abraham's spiritual descendants. We know that Abraham's son was Isaac, his grandson was Jacob. Jacob was later renamed Israel, and that's what the nation of Israel comes from. They're named after Jacob or after Israel. But the blessing is not just for Israel, it's for the Gentiles as well. Gentile just means people who aren't Jewish. So if you're Jewish, praise the Lord. If you're like me, and most of us in this room, you probably aren't Jewish. We're Gentiles, but the blessing extends to us because of the spiritual inheritance we have through Abraham. Here's how Paul explains that. Just further on in that same chapter, this is Galatians. We're going to read verses 3 and 14 and then 16 and 29. This is the New Living Translation. You guys got to get in the New Living Translation. I mean, I like to have things that's easy to understand, and it has a way of talking about some of this stuff, especially in the New Testament, that just really gives it just easier to digest, easier to get hold of. Galatians 3:13. "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it's written in the scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who hung on a tree.' Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith." God gave the promise to Abraham and his child. Notice the scripture doesn't say "to his children" as if it meant many descendants, but rather it says "to his child," and that, of course, means Christ. Verse 29, "And now you," that's talking to all of us, "and now you belong to Christ. You are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." Man, can it be any more clear? It's just right there in black and white that God's promise to Abraham belongs to us through Christ. That's really exciting news. Everything that was promised in the Bible to Abraham, you go back and read, whether it's in Genesis or Deuteronomy, just all the promises that God gave to Abraham and the nation of Israel, those are for us as well as part of the new covenant. That's really exciting news. Genesis 12:2 says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others." Here's this verse in the Amplified Bible. It says, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundance, increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others." That's exactly what Dad talked about in the offering today, right? The Lord wants to bring blessing into our lives. It's not just to make us look good. It's, number one, to make God look good and draw others to him and make him look attractive. But it's to bless others around us as well, right? If we're so poor, if we're in survival mode, how can we help the person next to us? How can we be blessing to them, right? Basically, God is promising to increase his favor in Abraham's life because God wanted to be a blessing, not just to Abraham, but to Abraham's family and everyone around him. And that's exactly what happened. Abraham became a very prosperous guy. Genesis 13:2 says, "He was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold." You know, the favor of God just didn't bring good things into Abraham's life, but it was a legacy that cascaded down through his family. It blessed everyone around him. You know, and I really believe, and God's word tells us that prosperity in our life is for a reason. It's not just so we can live well. When God told Abraham he would bless him, he said in the same sentence, he would be a blessing to others. He said, "I'll be a blessing so you can be a blessing to others." And I really like how the Amplified Bible says, it says, "dispensing good to others." Just being a channel for that blessing to flow through and bless others. You know, our community is full of people in need, right? So is the world beyond our community. You can walk down Swan River and you can see people in need. Vernon Shannon traveled to the East and they saw lots of need as well. You know, if we're going to influence and impact our community, this we need to take hold of God's blessing in our life. We need to learn how to walk in favor, right? If we're going to send Vernon Shannon and people to join them and have impact in other far areas of the world as well too, right? Man, we can do that if we're walking in blessing. We can do that if we're experiencing God's favor in our lives. The unmistakable favor of God in our lives is also a powerful sign to the world around us, the reality of Jesus and the truth of God's word. If we're saying something and we're not experiencing it in our lives, what validity does it have, right? But if we're declaring God's word, God's favor over our lives, and we teach ourselves how to walk in it, that's a powerful sign. The truth of God's word, it's a powerful sign that God is real, he's alive, and he wants to work in our lives. You know, when someone asks, how did you get that job? You didn't even seem qualified. I've had that happen a couple times in my life. Or how did you find out about that investment? Or how did you, you know, get an in that situation? How cool is it to be able to say, man, it's the favor of God. You know, when you can't take credit for it, when you recognize in your own life, there's no way that would have happened except God promoting me, God changing things on my behalf, God giving me an advantage, God giving me preferential treatment, whatever it is. When we can give the glory to God, that's an exciting thing. And that gives us an opportunity, gives us a story to tell. It gives us an opportunity to tell about God's favor in our lives. And then the next thing is being saying, God wants to do that for you too, right? That's an exciting thing to be able to do that. Deuteronomy 28 describes the blessing that God promised the nation of Israel and us, the blessing of Abraham. We're not going to read those verses. We've read them a lot, but I want to hit verse 10. Then the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. So it talks about, you're blessed when you go in and out, and when you're the head and not the tail, and all those blessings that in the first nine verses of Deuteronomy 28. The reason for that is that people will see that you're people claimed by the Lord, and they'll stand in awe. It's to be a sign to the world around us. Then the Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. This is verse 11. Blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. That was the promise that God had given to the nation of Israel. Here's what happened. This is now in Psalms. That was the promise. Here's what happened. Psalms 44, 1-3. O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, the work that you did in their days, in the days of old. You with your own hand drove out the nations, then you planted them, you afflicted the peoples, you spread them abroad. For by their own sword they did not possess the land. This is referring back to the Israelites. By their own sword they did not possess the land, and their own arm did not save them. But your right hand and your arm and the light of your presence, for you favored them. It was God that did it. God gave the promise. They took a hold of it by faith, and then God did it. You know, the favor of God in our lives brings about so many things that might seem impossible from a human perspective, and it guarantees victory in those situations, no matter how much the odds are stacked against us. This is for me, too. I need to hear this. This is the kind of thing that builds our faith when we come against a situation that seems like, man, there's just no way. We can continue to look to God's word. Let it build faith in our lives. We'll continue to recognize that God can do it for us. Psalm 41:11 says, I know you are pleased with me, for you have not let my enemies triumph over me. Again, referring to God and how he brings the victory in those situations. That same verse in the King James Version uses the word favor. By this I know that you favor me, not just pleased with me, but you favor me, because my enemy doth not triumph over me. Some old English for you. God's favor in our lives causes us to triumph. Amen. When we're declaring and walking in the favor of God over lives, it's impossible for us to be prevented, for the enemy to prevent us from achieving everything that God has for us. The specific things that God's called us to do. And if we're standing in faith on those verses, if we have a revelation in our spirit, we've activated that, Satan can't keep us from walking in it. You know, there's so much more to this. I'm hoping to get an opportunity to talk more about it. I haven't talked to Dad, but perhaps in 3 or 4 weeks I'll get a chance to talk more about the favor of God, because there's more to learning to recognizing it, learning to activate it in our lives, learning to receive it, right? It's not just enough to acknowledge it exists, but there's specific things that we can do to bring it about in our lives. But my hope for today was that we would just start to talk about this. And again, just get you guys excited to the possibilities. When you think about those benefits of favor that we talked about, just to start to stir your faith and even give you a new reason to dig into the scriptures, like we talked about when you see those words, grace, right? Recognize that can mean divine favor. And just say, Lord, just give me revelation on the favor that you have for me. When I read your word, just give me new eyes and just to see your word differently than perhaps I've seen it in the past. And cause it to be something that is not just a head understanding, but something that actually makes me a doer of the word, right? Something that changes my actions, something that changes my words, and causes me to be aligned with how you'd want me to live my life. So that's what I have for you today. Just be encouraged that God's got great things for you, and a lifestyle of favor is ahead. Amen.
Let's all stand together. Candace, I would like if you would put up that scripture for us again from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7. We heard Cam share from this scripture, what are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace to it. We're not able to go to take the time to explore all the historical inferences and understanding of the scripture. But I as Cam was sharing this morning, and I felt the Lord saying to me, reminding me of the fact that we all have mountains in our lives. We all have mountains of impossibility in our lives right this moment. You guys here, every one of you, absolutely every one of you in this room has things in your life that are impossible for you to solve, that only God can solve for you. Only God can do it. Only God can do the stuff in your life that really counts, the big stuff that no man can do. But Cam's message this morning was a message of hope for us, and a message of faith that the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And I felt the Lord say to me this morning that we need to declare that our confidence this morning is not in our own ability to solve our own needs and our own situations. But we need to declare that it's God who holds the key. That God who has the power to do it. And it happens in our lives through the favor of God, the grace of God. Some of you guys are standing here this morning and saying, Pastor, if you only knew how impossible my situation is. If you only knew the pit that I... If you only knew how difficult this is. This is absolutely impossible. I want to remind you of the scripture that says that even where sin abounds, even where the devil's had a rout in people's lives, even when the situation is worse than bad, worse than impossible, even where sin abounds, their grace abounds the more. The favor of God abounds the more. And I believe this morning, beloved, the Lord wants to minister to each one of us words of faith and hope and help and deliverance. And it comes to you through faith in the Word of God, through faith in the grace of God. And as you embrace the answer, as you embrace the grace of God, as you embrace the message that Cam's ministered to us this morning, that therein lies our hope of deliverance. For some of you, as Cam suggested, it might be relational or domestic, have to do with your family or some relationship. Some of you it's financial, some of you it's physical, some of you it's all of the above. But the answer is in the grace of God. And the scripture, can we have the scripture back again? Here, the verse 7 says this, that the answer to their situation came with shouts of grace, grace. Favor, favor. Favor, favor, favor. And I want us to echo, I want us to declare favor. I want you this morning with a shout. We're going to shout in just a moment. I want you to shout in a spirit of faith before God, favor over your situation. Favor over the situation you think is just hopeless and desperate, that there's no answer for it. That is not true. That's a lie from the enemy. There is an answer. But the answer is in the favor of God. How on earth is Gideon going to do his... How is he going to resist the Midianites? How on earth are the Israelites going to get out of Egypt? How on earth is David going to take out Goliath? How on earth? The favor of God. The favor of God. The favor of God. How on earth is your situation ever going to change? How are you going to come out? However are you going to come out victorious? The answer is the favor of God. The favor of God. And so you all have right this moment, you all right now have your own situation, your own need in your mind. I have mine in my mind. And I also have the answer, just like you do. And so I want you to, with me right now, declare a shout of favor to your situation. Favor over your need. Favor over your impossibility. And as we do it, we're going to release our faith that God's going to do what only God can do. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. Favor. Amen. Father God, we declare our faith this morning in the favor of God. The favor of God that changes impossibilities into victories. That changes crises into moments of triumph. That brings impossible situations absolutely into line and releases the power of God. So Father, with shouts of grace, and favor, we declare over this congregation this morning that impossibilities are turned around. Defeats are changed into victory. Impossibilities are absolutely washed away and wiped away. We declare it to be a new day into the lives of these, your people, Father. Not because we're so smart, or because we've got so much money, or because we've got it all figured out, we know how we can do it, but because of our faith in the favor of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received our introduction through faith into this grace, into this favor in which we stand. We declare, Father, we stand together in the favor of God this morning. We qualify. Last week I shared with you at the end of the day that we're qualified to walk in and to stand in and to experience the favor of God. Not because we're so smart or because we're so anything, but because we are in Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus, then you are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then you are qualified. You are qualified for every blessing that was ever recorded in the Scripture, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. You are qualified for every blessing. You are qualified to receive and to walk in every blessing through faith in Jesus' name. So, Father, with this declaration of faith and confidence in the favor of God, we dismiss ourselves into your blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace and blessing in Jesus' name. This morning, it may